Welcome to another edition of Get Lit with Literature. This is Monk. Part 2, Russian Magic, Living Folk Traditions of an Enchanted Landscape by Cherry Gilchrist, I think. Published by Quest Books, a theosophical publishing house. Wheaton, Illinois and Chennai, India. Published in 2009, first published as The Soul of Russia by Floris Books in Edinburgh. I'm going to jump to the chapter, The Enchanted Landscape. Did some research for my book, the Moving Through the Empty Gate Forest, because of the forest and the trees. So this has a bunch about trees, this section. Mentions the forest has provided the basic substance for life since time immemorial in Russia. Huts and houses are traditionally made of wood, while logs provide the fuel for the fires that are needed in winter. Drinking vessels, tubs, bowls, and platters have all frequently been made of wood in times past, and transport was once dependent upon it to make carts, sledges, and boats. It was used, birch bark was used for paper. Flexibility makes it ideal for weaving into shoes, baskets, and storage canisters. Good kindling. Trees have specific associations. The oak, as we have seen, represents the world tree and has its own spirit, D-U-B-Y-N-I-A, a fierce and strong fellow who carries a wooden oak club over his shoulder. So it lists the different energies and associations with fir, lime, aspen, poplar, pine. The garlands of birch twigs can be used for divination. The birch has many practical uses and can provide sap for a refreshing drink, as well as tar from its trunk. The old Russian word for April actually means angry with birch trees, presumably relating to the fact that people cut deep into the wood of the trees to tap off the sap at this time of year, or felled them for their tar. Birch is thought in general as a purifying force. The containers made of birch bark do indeed seem to have some antiseptic properties and will conserve food such as sugar and flour for a long time. Willow, in general, is considered to be beneficial to human welfare. Three willow branches are said to clear a house of illness and misfortune, and a twig bound to your head with cloth is reputed to be another sovereign remedy for a headache. Now, the forest master, Leshi, L-E-S-H-I-I, Leshi, nature spirit and forest master who looks after all the birds, beasts, trees, and plants. He is not just a creature of myth, but has regularly been seen by country folk. Some of these reports of encounters with nature spirits have been recorded by ethnographers, but of course, many more are never written down, just passed on by word of mouth. One account that was recorded comes from an old woman in the Kaluga province who witnessed the appearance of Leshi at the time of a great forest fire. He himself, as she referred to Leshi, not daring to pronounce the name of a spirit, was as tall as a bell tower. He strode along behind all the beasts of the forest, bears, elk, squirrels, and hares, who were pouring out not in chaos but in orderly groups of their own kind, confident that their master was in charge of his flocks. A heavy whip over his shoulder and a horn in his hand. Leshi depicted as a savior of the forest, taking all his charges to safety, a giant with compassion for the smallest of creatures. What kind of vision it was, psychic, literal, or imaginative, we shall never know. Descriptions of nature spirits are probably interpretations, a human way of putting form upon contact with the forces and elements of nature, but they nevertheless do seem to reflect a real degree of experience. And such interpretations always need a cultural context, which provides a kind of visual framework and a repertoire of imagery that makes it easier for people to recount their experiences. Educated but sensitive, Russians have told me that they too have had experiences of nature spirits. Another tale is a neighboring forest masters may fall out with one another, and one folktale relates how two of them quarreled bitterly over an inheritance. Gambling is another popular pursuit of Leshi. And in 1859, peasants attributed an exodus of squirrels across the Ural Mountains to this cause, declaring that one Leshi was paying off his debts to another after losing at cards by handing over some of his own creatures to his rival. Leshi is as prankster, gambler, trickster, and savior. How are we to reconcile all these different images? Now, I'll say from personal experience, in the mention of this person referring to the forest spirit as tall as a bell tower. Well, that rang a bell for me personally. My experience with the Kabbalah and the Tree of Life. There's an archangel Sandalphon who is reported as being so tall. His connection is with the earth. His feet are with the earth, but yet his head is in the higher upper realms or heaven or whatever you want to call that. So at some points in my life, and especially after having invoked his presence in a ceremonial way, I can recall one time as specifically driving, and I experienced like an energy, a presence that just felt like it was way, way above me. It was almost like being high without being high, because I felt like I was just sitting there. Of course, I'm focusing on driving, but I felt this huge, hugely tall presence, and I specifically attributed it to Sandalphon. So you can say whatever that might say, or you can do this or that about it, but personally, that's a whatever the reason, whatever the explanation, that attribution I occasionally feel, not just driving, but even at some points, and I think of this huge, huge presence where I may be standing barely up to its knee or right by its ankle or whatever. But I find that comforting, and it's actually strongly changes my perception of reality and the sense of dimensions and on and on. So somebody reading and saying, oh, well, that's just a fairy tale or a mythology, he's as tall as a bell tower, I would disagree and say, no, that is actual experience, and it can be. And another mention, another chapter, The Wheel of Time. I've used this chapter especially for my haiku calendar that gets published annually, and there are holidays, I call them holidays from around the world, different traditions. So this chapter provides holidays around the world, the Earth, Mother Earth, that are from all different cultures, backgrounds. And so I like to represent as many as possible. And so when I came across this section, I was like, wow, here's a bunch of listed for different days. And obviously I'll just mention a few of them. And she writes, just about every other day in the Russian folk calendar has a special tradition or feast day associated with it. As mentioned above, many are dedicated to a being who is an amalgamation of a native deity with a Christian saint, resulting in some very idiosyncratic characters. So she lists January 4th is Saint Anastasia's Day, the saint who safeguards pregnant women. She is known as the safe cutter of umbilical cords. And there's more to that. The Domavoy, D-O-M-A-V-O-I, I don't know how I'm pronouncing it, but Domavoy's birthday is a house spirit. That's February 10th. March 9th, dedicated to the birds who are said to start building their nests on this day. Russians are fond of birds, and traditionally bird boxes for starlings are put up at this time, as starlings are considered rather exotic in Russia. It is also a day when divination can be practiced by observing the behavior of birds. If they are returning early from their winter migration, then there will be good grain harvest. And if they are building their nests on the sunny side of trees or houses, then the summer will be cool. And right about the time, the day that I'm recording this, April 14th, a day that belongs to Saint Mary the Egyptian, whose popular name is Mary the Snow Melter. She is a spirit associated with fire and warmth, and she now melts the snow, sends sunbeams playing over the land, and invites young girls outside to play spring games. If she manages to thaw the ice easily, then the year too will be happy and easy. And upcoming in May is Saint Isidore's Day, a saint known as Sidor or Sidor, S-I-D-O-R, the Cucumber Man. Under his influence, cucumbers can now be planted, and a clear day on Sidor's Day brings a good crop in due course. It is also the day when the swallows are expected to return, bringing fair weather with them if they fly high. So, a wonderful sense of encouraging observation and participation with the natural world around one, and the timeless observation of noticing the patterns and changes of whether it's clouds, birds, whatever, just paying attention to that stuff can be better than your online weather report. So there'll be at least probably a part 3 will do it of the series. And thank you for listening. Have a good one. Be well.